Hey, we get it. You don't want to be hearing a Progressive commercial right now. So let us tell you something you do want to hear. You are powerful. You're a warrior who bathes in your enemy's tears. Then you step out of that refreshing tear bath and into a bathrobe that somehow looks good on you. Yeah, you can pull off a robe. There. Don't you feel better? You'll also feel better when you save money for driving safely with Snapshot from Progressive. Savings you can use to buy more robes. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
This is Cindy Lee, and you are listening to, watching to, vibing with us at Just Another Podcast. Woo! Do a slow, do that shimmy, just one shoulder. You can't give them too much.
So good evening, ladies and gentlemen. All right, welcome to Just Another Podcast, even though it's not Just Another Podcast, but Just Another Podcast, either way. Tonight, I my name is Just Heck, and I present the illustrious, the infamous, the beautiful, the handsome, Cindy Lee Alves. What's going on, Cindy? How you doing today?
Hey, I feel seen. When you talk to me and all my gender fluidity, I feel seen. Hey, Hector. Hey, Heck.
There you go.
Yeah. You can All right.
What's going on? How you feeling?
I am fabulous. I am looking forward to a weekend of nothingness, but I'm good. I'm happy to be alive. Despite the fuck shit. How are you doing?
Definitely, there's a lot of fuck shit going on right now.
Yeah.
I feel like it's everywhere. It's like in sports.
Abundant.
It's in politics. It's in life. Like, it's just like, it's just everywhere right now. You know, it's like 2020 doesn't want to let go.
No.
It's like clutching towards the end. It's like, you know, you got that little sibling that's just kind of holding on to you, or the little niece or nephew, they're like, you're trying to pull away from them. And they're like, no, they got you by your foot, your ankle.
Mm-hmm. Or 2021 is that younger sibling that's like, oh, nah, hold my beer, right? Like all those memes. I got you.
Definitely. It's just, you know, I'm telling you, it's interesting. But I feel like by June, things will turn the corner, you know. There's still some stuff out there that has some Trump on it. And, you know, it's still some stuff out there. But, you know, we'll always, I think, you know, we've outlived the dinosaurs and floods and you know, all types of stuff. So we as human beings will always persevere. You know, that's my thing. That's my
outlook. I like that. I like that hope. you know, Trump, you know, Orange number 45 and anybody that looks like him and believes in that is not new. It didn't start when he got the ticket. So we've been new.
Yeah, for real. It's true. It's definitely true. So I'm going to start with the first question. It might, you know, you can answer it as you hear it, or as you know, whatever you interpret it. Who is Cindy Lee Alves?
A work in progress. Professionally, I'm a sexologist. Predominantly did a lot of sexuality education work. Got the formal degree, whether or not that means legitimacy is up for debate sometimes. I'm a New Yorker. I am queer, non-binary femme, anti-fuck shit, ready to dismantle shit, avid shimmier, miss me a pinalitos,
oh,
right?
Man.
You don't realize the little things that you've done and how much you'll miss it, right? Like, that was just another day to hang out and like,
yeah,
or get some bok choy, right? And, you know, like Lower East Side. But now you're like, damn, you know, post-COVID, it's going to be a generation that maybe may not know what that is like to just be like, YOLO, let's go get a margarita.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Definitely. I think COVID has definitely changed things everywhere. Mm-hmm. But definitely. Avid shimmier. I like that.
Avid. Yes. All kinds, right? All kinds of shit. Sometimes we got rotator cuff stuff at this age. We can't really do all the functions.
Hear you. So when you say you're a sexologist, like, what does that entail?
Okay. So sexology is basically the study of sex, right? But that looks like so many different things, right? There's dope people selling sex toys. There's magical people doing therapy. There's awesome people teaching young people in schools or wherever, churches. The most of what I do is education. Even when I was doing research, I let go of my PhD program. But even when I was doing research, the focus was education. The focus is, what does it look like? How can we use sex education and give information to folks and let it be something that's healing or something that's affirming or something to get rid of the shame and the guilt that sometimes we fuck ourselves over for long periods of time and stops us from really living our best lives. Definitely. Period.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, and so you said you were queer and non-binary femme.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't understand what that is, I mean, everyone has a general sense of what queer is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they truly know what queer is until you're educated on what's queer. Because automatically people will think queer is just gay, and there's subcultures. It's an umbrella. That's what people don't understand. So can you explain that for the person that just doesn't understand what that is or doesn't know?
Yeah, sure. You was on it. You know, you be knowing things. Don't be
I mean, you know, I know. I work with the
community. Well-versed. Yes.
I work with the community. I got friends, you know. So it became part of me I can't just be like, hey, you know, I'm hanging with you and I don't know nothing about you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or at least identify you as you want to be identified.
Right.
And that's important.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's beautiful too, because sometimes so many folks across the spectrum, you know, want it so much from their closest, right? From their chosen, mm-hmm. from their blood. And sometimes that's the most difficult because,
right.
you know, change can be difficult for folks, especially when they don't understand the language. Even if you understand the language, that shit evolves, right? Queer mm-hmm. used to be something you couldn't say, right? Like that was
derogatory,
you know, a slur. And for some people, it still is. It is an umbrella, but for myself and my queerness, I'm talking about a bunch of things, right? Like my sexual orientation and how that, I believe in like the fluidity of it. I believe in gender not really being a thing or there being not focused on the binary. Like we were taught there was only two things.
Definitely.
It's a little bit more expansive than that, especially when we start talking about, you know, pre-colonization. Like there's so many receipts around that.
Right.
For so many, it could be a political thing, right? There's like memes that will be like, you know, not like queer as in, yeah, like kikiing and living the best life, but also queer as in fuck the police, fuck ICE, right? The things that created or the things that were the foundation of gay, queer, LGBTQ plus rights, right? It started from uprising. It started from we tired of not being able to live our lives in these humane ways
right.
and still struggling, right? If we talk about queerness and the other identities, because queer and white looks very different than queer and black or disabled or fat.
Always does.
So yeah, there's always layers of this shit. Yes,
there's. I mean, there's always even anything white versus black is different. You know, we
absolutely
had people climbing up the wall just the other day, the White House,
and they made it in, right? They made it in places that you can't even go to during a fucking tour, right? Like, when was it? Like 2013? And, you know, we don't got to get into that, but it's good to talk about, right? 2013, there was a Black woman that got killed from busting a U.E. just in front of where the Capitol is. These motherfuckers got in, was playing, I don't know, Sparta with like podiums. I don't know what was happening. So it's just talking about like that level of privilege, even like for, I mean, that's another conversation. Mm-hmm. But like, that's why I think I've struggled in my experience of like teaching when I do like my college courses or even like courses in the community, when I talk to poor white folks, right? And all kind of white folks, because there's white Latinos too. And that, how they, that having that nuance, they're like, oh, I don't have privilege. Right. No, privilege doesn't mean you don't have hardship. It just means there's certain things that you didn't have to do, right? You can go to a store and not be followed. And, you know, poor or not, you're seen with this air, like you could do nothing, right? You could be basic, mediocre, and get presidency, right? That's how it shows up. But
it's happened a couple of times in our history. Actually, more than a couple of times, but in recent history.
The receipts are abundant. And that's why a lot of us as folks of color, we're like, oh, you just now being like, oh my God, it's terrible, this world. And I'm like, I was little, right? I can't. You already know. It went from queerness, and it's always going to talk about politicizing. I'm always going to veer towards that. But, you know, back to me and queerness and, you know, me living with my lover who is a cisgender woman, me identifying along the spectrum of gender, meaning like gender is complicated, gender is in your head, and being here for folks who fit along those lines or don't, or play with it, because gender can be performative. We can do a lot of things with gender, and anything that goes against that, it's really us having that shame or guilt that's conditioning us to be like, that's not what I'm used to, so it must be wrong, or it must be, you know, questionable, or it feels uncomfortable to be around that. But at the same time, we exist, right? So how do we be doing, you know, how do we live in community with folks? And like you said, right, honor folks and honor their experiences. If you care about that person, right, what does it look like to address them in the pronouns, or, you know, not make them have to say, you know, this is my friend for for 30 years, right? Like, that's your boo. Like, that's not your roommate. You don't got one bedroom, right?
Right, exactly. So, exactly. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think it's dope. I think it's always important to identify people how they want to be identified. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether gay, straight, whatever the case may be, you know what I'm saying? And I think it's, we've come a long way as people, because I remember starting out in the field of sexual health, and I was a health educator. And, you know, we would be out handing out condoms and stuff, and it was like super taboo to, like, you know, even to for a guy, you know, like, that was where the whole term MSM came from, because, you know, men didn't want to identify. They were just in the parks looking for Johns or whatever. And, you know, and it was, that was, there was a whole like in the closet thing where that was like the hot take from like 2002 to 2006, you know. It was, yeah, and I used to sit back, and then getting involved in like the house ball scene.
Oh, yes.
And looking at that, and seeing the happiness that come about it, but also the tragedy, because, you know, I looked at the house ball scene particularly, and it's not to kind of lose the focus of you for the minute, but just looking at the house ball scene within the LGBTQ plus, you know, if there's more letters, I apologize. But I'll keep it to those for now. But looking at that subculture and looking at how it was pillaged artistically, for so many years, and you have The dude that made, and I'm not even going to say his name. I know his name, but I'm not even going to say it. But the dude that made Paris is Burning, him never really giving back to the community as he should have. And that picture is like a staple in the history of like New York queer.
Period.
New York gay scene, you know?
Yeah.
And it ran across the spectrum. It ran into like trans experience. You know, the funniest scene to me was always them robbing Roy Rogers. I was like, it's free. He's walking right. in, you know? And so,
right.
Yeah. And so.
And she got to profit off of that, right? Like she profited and didn't do anything, especially when you look at the history, right? Like you look at what happened after that movie. Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't get it. We didn't have social media back then. So they didn't get viral and have checks and have people support them in those ways. A lot of the people who we revere as people who were like activists and did shit that got us to where we're able to be today. Mm-hmm. They didn't get to thrive in the ways that some people now get to easily thrive. And, you know, totally. I'm here for people giving flowers. Mm-hmm. But I would like folks to get their flowers now while they're here and while they're, you know, doing the work and not when they pass and like, damn, we lost them.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that happened a lot. You know, there were a couple of dear friends that while I was working within those, you know, during those contract periods that passed away from HIV related complications and, you know, and even violence. I mean, that was absolutely. A thing too. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think it's part of the evolution. You know, you got to come from somewhere. And there's us as people of color are always our road to success. It's always a little bit harder. And I mean, it's just, it sucks to kind of say that that's the way it is because it's actually improving. It's not going to always be like that. You know what I mean? At some point, you know, things will get better. It's just, you know, you look back at those times and you're like, man, you know, like they could have fixed up that. They could have fixed up the pier years ago instead of, you know, that be the place where people went to go commit suicide because, you know, or whatever the case.
And now you can't be on it.
No.
Right? Like now, and then they policed it, right? Like, you know, the over-policing of a pride parade. And don't get me wrong, there was fuck shit happening in a pride parade. You know, people were living their best lives. There's all types of folks. But the over-policing and you can't cross the street and we're like wrangled, like cattle.
Pushing you through.
It's complicated.
It is.
It's complicated.
You know, but I think it's a reason why the community is as strong as it is. And maybe a bit more unified than it has been in a while. Cause we as people of color are always quick to tear each other down. And I noticed that specifically in the LGBTQ community, it was always like, oh, you're not real this, you're not real that, you know, oh, you like to do this in the park or whatever the case may be. And it was, you know, it's hatred, but it comes from somewhere else. It's, you know, it's an abuse that comes from somewhere else. And how do you channel that is you direct it at other people because that's a learned kind of, you know, you learn that kind of behavior in time and you use it, you kind of, how do I say it? You kind of use it to kind of like, it attacks you, it hits you, and then you kind of wear it. Now you're wearing it and it's like a battle scar.
And it's I think the thing is, and I'm going to try to keep it directed. I think all of that to me is white supremacy, right? All of the, the beliefs of being not good enough, of feeling like there's a particular respectability politics, or you have to be this to be a real this, right? All the phobias. Mm-hmm. We were raised in it. Regardless of how much we want to fight the good fight, if you're there for that, there's stuff we have to unlearn and relearn. And there's stuff that we perpetuate ourselves when we are trying to figure ourselves out through this shit, especially with folks of color. we have trauma in our DNA, right? Like we have generations of some type of lived experience, whether it was intimate partner or family kind of violence, or whether it was actual violence through ancestry, through genocide, you know, again, fuck shit. It impacts the way we see community. And like now I'm hoping that more, you know, when we talk about things like Black Lives Matter and things like that are supposed to, that are highlighting folks of color, Black people, Indigenous people, that we understand those layers. So as a queer Black person being, understanding that Black Lives Matter was started by at least two of three queer women.
Right.
Right. Yet we see misogyny, we see misogynoir in these activist spaces too. We see homophobia, transphobia in these activist spaces too, right? Just like you were saying, there's transphobia in the LGBT community. We ain't all holding hands and skipping, right? You know, and that's why we got to look at the different layers. There's gay, there's white gay men wanting Trump to stay, like that's a thing, right? Like there's so many different levels and layers of shit that we have to parse through in order for us to just be able to live and get free.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Loving this interview so far. So let's jump in the time machine, right?
Okay.
I want to go.
New Extra Charge Hot and Iced Coffee from Dunkin' is made with 20% extra caffeine from green coffee extract, because we could all use a little extra this year. Whether that's an extra boost, some extra boldness, or the drive to go the extra mile. We're extra ready for whatever comes our way and extra excited to take it on. Let's get it done with a medium extra charge coffee from Dunkin' for $2 with 20% more caffeine, and pair it with snackable stuffed bagel minis for an added all-day boost. Order ahead on the Dunkin' app. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. New Extra Charge Hot and Iced Coffee from Dunkin' is made with 20% extra caffeine from green coffee extract, because we could all use a little extra this year. Whether that's an extra boost, some extra boldness, or the drive to go the extra mile. We're extra ready for whatever comes our way and extra excited to take it on. Let's get it done with a medium extra charge coffee from Dunkin' for $2 with 20% more caffeine, and pair it with snackable stuffed bagel minis for an added all-day boost. Order ahead on the Dunkin' app. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Back. Way back. Like that black shoe.
Nah, baby. That's the song now. That's the song for the episode.
I want to go back. Growing up, Cindy Lee Alvis. What was that like?
Complicated. I have to say everything is complicated. Okay. In hindsight, I think growing up was very adult, I will say, right? Like, I don't remember too much of like, yay, let me be a child, right? There were some real serious adult things that I like either knew of or was aware of, even if my development was still like, I don't know what that means. But I lived good. I'm going to say that too. Like, it's that both and. You know, I never wanted for anything, even when we were struggling. I lived, you know, my mom was a single parent. It was me and my half sister, technically, but it was never called that. It was my sister, right? We all got different dads. It's like we're different seasons of my mom's life. And I was born, I was the last, so I was the baby. And my mom was like in her 40s. So in I reflect a lot about like how that must have played a part in being a baby born in the 80s, when my mom had to work off the books, right? $5 an hour off the books, hustle, you know, it shows up in those ways. Again, like any struggle that you have, it can be redirected into giving you that talent and that skill.
Right.
As long as you feel that it is, or somebody had told you, like somebody that was like a mentor, or like the work we did with youth development, to have somebody affirm you, to be like, oh, you speak multiple languages? Okay, that's an asset. That's not you being, oh, you're not from here, or you have an accent or whatever that is.
Right.
But yeah, I'll be like, it's complicated. I did a lot of moving because of that. There was a lot of change. I was the baby, so I was always called the brat And I owned that until, you know, therapy. I was like, oh, I wasn't a brat. I was a fucking little kid that advocated for their needs. And that was like, you know, you couldn't do that, right? Mm. Versus like my sister, like latchkey kid. Mm. You know, I'm the cusp of like Generation X and millennial.
Right.
Trying to, you know, hold into my auntie space. and, you know, I did rebellious shit. I just felt very adult. I felt very aware, and that got me in trouble because I would say things matter of factly to like adults and they'd be like, nah, you a kid, like stay in your lane. Mm. You know, I remember getting in trouble and they'd be like, what do you have to say for yourself? And I'm like, honestly, anything I say is going to be taken as a negative. So I'm going to just sit here and they'll be like, how dare you? Right. Like they were mad. And I'm like, but see, like, I don't know what to tell you, right? Or like me having whatever kind of logic brain, like I get suspended for, you know, verbally arguing with somebody. So I'll tell the principal, okay, so if I'm getting suspended, my logic is, can I punch her? Because like, you already suspended me. Like, can I follow through? I want to do this to completion. But yeah, that's okay. A little bit of my youth. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, awesome. So where do you think the awareness came from?
The adult awareness? Mm-hmm. I think it's because I feel like I was always present, right? Okay. Even with the things that they were trying to like talk around, right. I always felt like I knew what was happening, right? Like, I remember being 5 and being aware that my dad did some ain't shit stuff. Mm. And there was like a divorce happening, right? Very novella. It felt novella to me, but I understood it that way. Like I understood that to be a thing.
Okay.
But me also trying to stay in my lane, because that was also a big thing. Like, you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not acting right. And that showed up, you know, that showed up in school too, because you speaking and asking questions is especially, you know, in a school that's already run by whiteness or has a particular way, right? Like the schools, in my experience in the US, they want everything, you're lined up. Like they want you quiet, still regurgitating the shit that they're teaching you. And if you have any questions or want to do anything else, it's seen as combative, right? So like, I was getting told to look at the wall a lot in kindergarten, but then that turned into, you know, me being rebellious in ways that spoke up for other people, right? So like being a little fat girl, I was always seen as a bully just off the size of me. So I was like, all right, let me monopolize that. So now I'm gonna make sure y'all don't bully these folks. So I'm gonna bully you, right? So like, if you wanna get and, you know, bother these folks, that they'd be like, you know, quiet, meek, doing their thing. And y'all want to be funny? No, be funny with me. Like, be funny, like you built, be built with me. Like, let's have that conversation.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's
okay.
How it shows up.
All right.
Yeah.
So now I noticed that you said at 5, you kind of remember like something going on between your mom and your dad. And you did mention that you were your mom was a single parent. Like you basically were raised predominantly as a single parent.
Yeah.
Do you know your father, or were you, you know, has he been in your life to this point, or what is that like for you? What do you think that did for your relationship? Of even, do you think it affected you? I mean, I'm asking like many different questions, and we can go through like each one.
Yeah. I'm gonna say I think that impacts you. Period. I'm not really clear on how it's impacted me, except that I have a really good recollection, like, that I would go hard in the paint for my dad when I was young. Like that was my my homie. Even when at post divorce, that was still my homie until I had whatever awareness I had, where I started being like, You know, because he gave money. He wasn't not present, but he just wasn't present in the way that I needed, right? Like, regardless of how much, you know, I would be like, oh, I don't want to cry, or I'm a G, or whatever it was. Right. I'm very emotional, right? So, like, and I want, you know, that emotional nurturing that doesn't happen a lot, whether my dad was there or not. Like, my mom didn't do it that much either. And you know, and I have compassion for her around that too, because she was the youngest of like seven kids, the only girl, right? Like, so I'm like, oh, now that I'm older, I'm like, okay, you did what you could with the tools that you have.
Right.
Whatever fucked up shit you did, or I felt like you did, that doesn't take away from that harm, but I have a little bit more compassion around that, because again, we come with the tools that we were given, and we either, you know, grab some new tools or not. And I have a privilege to live in the era that I have, right? With the access to the tools and the access to education. You know, my mom is 70 something and had to leave school at sixth grade because they were like, "You're a girl, come home, take care of the farm," whatever it is.
Right.
So back to my dad, like, I know I had, he's around, but he's not around. So like, I don't got no beef with him, but I don't have a relationship with him aside from like getting my space kind of memes in my Facebook Messenger, right? Like, they're very like, "Can you stay with me?" And like all these like very MySpace looking.
Shout out and to
I did go to listen with the stars. Like, I know y'all know, like, you're, they don't like folks that don't know Facebook.
That early JavaScript.
So I'm like, what is this? I don't know if this, I can say this, but whatever. Like, he's a born again Christian now. So that is not my ideals either. So it's just like,
right.
You're my friend on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You got a son and a daughter after me, and two sons before me. So like, those are my, you know, siblings. I have no problem calling them my siblings, but I don't have a relationship with them. Like, I went to my youngest sister's wedding with my lover because I was invited, and I'll go. Right. But I didn't know nobody like that. Like, they're like, "You remember me?" No, right? Like, I haven't seen you. You only spoke to my mama, right? Like, so when I was young, I would see, you know, and I'm like, "Hi." Like, there was one aunt that looked just like my other aunt. And then my mom was like, "Oh yeah, they're twins." Well, I didn't know that. Like, you know, I don't know these things. But we had a good time, and we were able to take pictures. But to me, like, that's it, right? Like, that's that upper layer is it. Whether that impacted me, I'm sure. I think anything that happens in your life impacts you in some kind of way, even if you don't want to address it, right? Mm-hmm. Or even if it doesn't hit you, like, it'll hit you later, right? Because hindsight is always 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, I'm like, that doesn't take away from my need or my want to, it might be tied to why I love young people so much, right? Like, me not being seen as a young person, or me not being nurtured in the ways that I thought I needed as a young person, or not being heard or listened to because, oh, you just be a, you know, you're a smart ass, or you're too smart for your own good. I think that's why I enjoy working with young people so much, because I'm like, you are your own person. I want you to have autonomy. I want you to figure those things out. You got something to say, even if it negates my stuff, let's talk about it, because that's going to give you that skill that when you do have to negotiate, or you do need to debate with someone when you're older, you're not shutting yourself down. Like, your inner hater is not telling you like, oh, you don't talk, you got to chill, because some of that shows up.
Right.
And, you know, whatever trauma responses we have as adults, a lot of adults are basically trying to heal their inner child shit and, you know, child, teenage, younger shit.
Definitely. Totally. I think it's all, you know, our parents before us and their parents before them. I think, you know, you get some sort of trauma, or what you call getting messed up. You know, there's something that comes out of it, and it's just part of it, because you know, you can't, you're not going to get it perfect. You know what I'm saying? It's just parenthood. It just is what it is. So you got, you know, you're right. I think you hit it right on the button. I think we're all healing to some extent, or even, you know, like you still think back and you're just like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, that happened. But, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, it's, you know, life is just funny that way, you know, especially when you're dealing with parents and you're kind of like, even if you forgive them, they sometimes are just, they don't want to forgive. They don't want you to forgive them. And even right, you forgive them right. and you're just like, you know, it is what it is. And they're just like, oh, no, no. And you're like, what do you mean no? Like,
see, I get the, that happened? That didn't happen? And you just want to snuff them. I'm like, I'm not going to snuff nobody. But I'm like, what you mean? Because yeah. a memory that's so important to you might have been just a blip in somebody because they weren't present because maybe their traumas or whatever yeah. was going on with them, or they just fucked up, because we have fucked up parents too, and we need to name that too. Like mm-hmm. some of us are taught that, oh, my mom is fucked up, but she's still my mom, I gotta love her. Sure, but it's also mm-hmm. okay if your mom is a narcissist or traumatic, you know, if right. somebody in your family ain't shit, and right. for you to preserve your peace, you trying to, you know, keep a distance. Because you can yeah. forgive them, but you can also forgive them from right here.
Yeah, yeah.
And about let that. Them be them. Mm-hmm. And because at the end of the day, like, I love family. I think community is yeah. important. And I think mm-hmm. we also need to take care of ourselves and nourish ourselves and respect our space and whatever we need to do to heal too.
Totally. Totally. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's good. It's yeah. really good perspective that you have, you know, and I'm glad, I appreciate you,
thank you.
Sharing that, because I always wanted to ask you, because I know like you, mm-hmm. I knew that you didn't grow up with your dad. I like most of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just yeah. a generation, and it's generational to a sense, you know?
Yeah.
But I always wanted to ask you, but it's just like, you know, how do you bring that up during a brunch or during, like, you know what I mean? It's
right.
those things that so, you know.
You have a dad wound?
Yeah. You know, I'm sorry. I know you got your four mimosas in, but let's talk about your dad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, no.
Any
no.
traumas?
Yeah, you know? Seriously. But you know, I appreciate you sharing that. So now, you know, you have this awareness, right? When did you come to the realization of you not being straight? Whatever, you know, straight means or whatever.
Yeah, when did you coming
come
out?
Yeah, when did you come to the realization that, you know what? You know, this guy thing just isn't it. You know what I mean? I mean, it kind of is it, but I kind of like what I like, you know, and it's.
Yeah.
When did you come to that realization? When did that come about?
I mean, in hindsight, talk about a whole bunch of things that happened when I was younger. Not now though. Like, this ain't okay. a couch.
No.
I don't know if this happens for everyone. Like, oh, that's what that was. I just thought she was really cool, but no, I thought she was like really cool.
Mm.
But out, like being cognizant of it, I know towards the end of undergrad, I was questioning it, right? But everybody knew me as like the blunt, non-judgmental
mm-hmm.
Sex person, right? Like, I've been wanting to be a sexologist.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what the fuck that meant since I was like 15.
I saw your college pictures. You were hot.
Thank you.
Not that you're not now, but
thank you.
Yeah, you. Know, you were,
it just gets
that,
better with time.
I was like, oh, okay, too.
And you know what? No shade, just to keep it 100, because you know, I'm here and I'm cute, but I also want to acknowledge I didn't think so back then, right? Okay. Like, I was just in the cut, minding my business. I didn't get, you know, a lot of play in undergrad. Mm-hmm. If I did, it was mm-hmm. you know. Not people on campus.
Yeah.
And then at the end, you know, they hit you up later, like in your 20s and they're drunk and they're like, oh, you were so fun in college. And I'm like, college is one fuck shit. You know, we're supposed to live our best lives. You missed out on that.
I'm guilty of that.
I mean, Listen, I think I did the opposite. And I think that's what makes me want to talk about sexual shame so much. Because when I was when I was in college, people had that belief and that understanding, like, oh, we're supposed to go balls to the wall, like, be great, you know, do all types of shit. I did a lot of that in high school. So when people were doing that, I was just like, I kind of went into like a respectable place. Like, I wanted you to be great, but I didn't want to do stuff. Right. Because of all the beliefs that, you know, anything a woman or a femme, anybody that's socialized or conditioned to be a woman, anything you do is trash, right? Like, if you do this, you're a hoe. If you don't do this, you're prude, right? So I was just like, I'm not going to do shit. I'm chilling. We going to smoke. We going to hang out. Like, I chilled with my sorority sisters for the most part. Right. But going back to the coming out, you know, my homies were like, oh, you're not gay. You talk about dick too much, right? Like, you talk about sex too much to be gay. And at that time, you know, I didn't have an understanding. I'm kind of happy there wasn't that much social media. I was like the first baby. I was a junior when Facebook came out. So I was like one of the first Facebookers with your college email. So funny enough, I didn't come out until grad school. And I was living with my boyfriend. Like, I was living with a cis dude that I met as a senior in college. And we stayed together and did a very stereotypical, well, people say it's a stereotypical lesbian thing. You know, we got together real quick. We bought a house together after like 9 months. I should have knew. But I will give him the credit. Like, he was the most affirming of me trying to figure out, right? Like, me being questioning and me figuring that out and me coming out. Like, I came out when I was with him. And we had a conversation, right? Like, that was one of my more healthier relationships if I looked at my timeline. I feel like my current one is the healthiest. But that was like somebody seeing me, affirming it, not judging me, and then us having a conversation about, like, what are we going to do moving forward? And we decided to be open and dabble into poly and to be polyamorous. And at first...
Define what that means for people that don't know what polyamorous means before, you know, you don't got to go.
This is a teachable moment, y'all. It says, like, you're getting lessons.
Yeah, definitely.
Hector, put your cash out. But polyamorous or consensual non-monogamy is more out there now, which is interesting. But that also means that some people, you know.
Of course.
Say they're poly, but I'm like, you cheating. That's not poly. So it's being open, whatever that means. Some people are open just sexually. Some people are open romantically. And there's so many combinations. So with us, that's another conversation. But with us, I was, we were okay as a couple for me to go and explore my queerness and my love for, at that time, you know, women, cis women, but I think any women at that time.
For all you foodies out there, I'm unwrapping a McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Ooh, look at this steak. And the juice running down the side. Got a little bit on the wrapper here. And then the fluffy egg and real cheese folded over the side, looking just so good. Grilled onions and a butter bagel too. Thumbs up for McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel for breakfast. Love it. I participate in McDonald's.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
But, you know, whatever. Right. We're learning and we're cruising through. And it was so funny because all my friends, when I would talk to them about that, they would automatically think, oh, he wants that, does he? Oh, he want to do these things, don't he? Like, and I'm like, no, it's me. And he actually doesn't until he did, right? Like, until we had a conversation and he wanted to too. which is funny because he got, it was easier for him to date than it was for me, because a lot of the women I was interested in at that point in my life, it happens now too, but there was a lot of biphobia. So they would automatically label me as bisexual because I had a boyfriend, and they would be like, oh, you're just one of those girls who's trying to get a threesome going. You're not really gay. Right. You just want to play around. Right. So it was difficult to try to like find myself and also block those kind of things. And then but actually find people that were open at that time to dating, knowing that stuff. Cause I kept it a buck, right? Like I told them from jump, look, it's complicated, right? Like, so they didn't, poly wasn't as open as it was before. Like, I remember finding poly matchmaker and it was all white people, right? Like, it was not my cup of tea, right? No shade. If you, you know, think pink, that's cool. So yeah, and until it wasn't, right? Until I was like, I feel like I'm fronting. I don't want to do that to you. Let's just, you know, part.
Hey, nah, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's dope. Oh man. And now here you are, the butterfly out of your cocoon.
and finding other cocoons, right? Like we continue to have different moments in our life that are going to be pivotal, that are going to shift and change. And that's okay, right? Like I've talked to cis dudes in between that, being like, oh, I'm trying to be, you know, open, or I don't know why, but I would be like, okay, yes. And then I was like, okay, no, right? Like there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, if you like you, all types of things, I want you to be great. Even if you don't want to identify, because, you know, we talked for a second MSM. Sometimes a lot of that is because there are people who have sexual behaviors with folk don't identify in terms of sexual identity as queer. That's their business. But I'm a big old queer.
That's it. There you go. There you go. Okay. So now I have a question for you regarding your work. I know, you know, we worked together at one point. We did a lot of youth work together.
That's how we met.
That's how we met. Definitely. You were working at a great, I don't want to say the name because, you know,
they ain't paying us.
It's still a great place. You know, it's in the Lower East Side. You'll find it on Pitt Street.
Yes.
You know, you'll know what I'm talking about if you're from the Lower East Side.
Yes. Still part of the nonprofit industrial complex though, but they do offer stuff to the community in ways that don't exist. Yes.
Definitely. Yeah. And I remember walking in and I seen you. We had another coworker named Janet.
Oh, I love Janet. Shout out to Janet. That's my boo.
Yeah. For real. She was dope. And yeah, I remember meeting you and I was just like, okay. And I remember our supervisor at the time, Miss Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Judith Sam. But she, you know, she was like, yeah, you know, and then there was another guy who I don't, you know, we won't mention his name, but he was, you know, it was funny because it was a weird situation because I'm walking into this, right? And I'm like, you know, he's one of the guys that would like taught me how to present, or not really taught me, but he kind of like where I thought I was good.
Yeah.
He gave me some tools.
Yeah.
To where I became better. You know what I mean? Because, you know, it was, I felt like I was always able to connect.
Mm-hmm.
But he gave me tools where he was like, you know what? You can connect, but you should also be informed. You should also be educated and you know, and have points of information that hold value. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not just, you know, just kick it. Because kicking it is cool, but the whole point is to educate at the end of the day, you know? So you find, you find the medium and then you say, okay, you know what? You know, it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Jay-Z, you know what I'm saying? He'll hit you with, you know, Big Pimpin', but then he's also got, so, you know, cause Big Pimpin' is Big Pimpin'. But it's he also hits you, but then he's also got songs that I'm just like, okay. And you gotta find that. You can't just come in the door like, hey, you know, wear a condom and you're gonna die if you don't. And no,
right.
Nobody trying to hear that. You know, youth aren't trying to hear that. Mm-mm. You know that. You know, I mean, they weren't Mm-mm. trying to hear that. So you gotta kind of find a way to say, you know what, okay, I understand what it is to be you. I'm not saying I'm like you or I know what it is, but I can understand.
Absolutely.
And that's where I think we click, because we kind of had the same ideals in helping people and stuff and helping youth. And
yeah.
But I ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's, because obviously you don't have a fatigue, like you've been going strong and you've evolved, right? Mm-hmm. You've evolved. Mm-hmm. But do you ever think that there was a time where it was just like, man, I don't know if I can do this anymore?
I feel like that happens a lot in different iterations for different reasons. So like we have that, yeah, we'll kick it with young people, but we'll also kick it with content. Mm-hmm. But if we have people who are above us who are not in support of that, or if we have to prioritize numbers and data and survival, right? Because I feel like I live now in a place where I feel privileged, even though ain't nobody live, you know, got MTV Cribs coming to their house, right? But I feel privileged. I have a lover and it's healthy, and I have a home that feels safe and secure that didn't feel like that when I was younger, which is why I was always dipping, right? Like, I have the privilege to be able to stand in my truth and not have fear around that. And I think 10, 15 years ago, I was concerned of like, I need this check, right? Like, right. I can't live in New York. Right. You know, I was subletting apartments, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's right. some things I'm sure I did that I probably wouldn't have now because I wasn't standing in that. I was still in the scarcity, in the fear. I think I to my PhD program because I was listening, and that you can't be successful with a master's in sexuality education. Like, you can't go far. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go get this degree and this degree and this degree, until I was in my PhD program and I did all my courses and I passed my tests and I got to dissertation mode and I just wasn't writing, right? And I'm sure there's mm-hmm. other layers to that, right? I was working, I was grinding by then. I was speaking, I was doing workshops, things that folks do after their PhD. But I don't know, because I don't got PhDs in my life where I could be like, this, right, you know, yeah. Here's the plan, right? Like, right. Here's what you do. Like, I remember mm-hmm. start writing your millions of pages. Right. And my advisor was like, oh, don't you know you write all your papers in your grad courses around the topic that you that way you already have, you know, some of your chapter two, right? Some of your literature review. Bitch, I didn't get that memo. I didn't think about that. I was just trying to get through, right? Because I was doing PhD while working full-time jobs at nonprofits, mm-hmm. while teaching at community colleges at night, mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4 classes, right? 15 weeks, 40 students a piece, right? Like, mm-hmm. so I'm sure there was things that flew through the cracks. In ways that I think I could be more present now, right? Healing does that too, but it's more of like, I know that I'm not going to get got. Like, you're not going to come to me talk about like, oh, can you speak for us for exposure? I can't pay mortgages and rent and stuff like that with exposure.
Right. Right.
I don't know where we were going with it, but I think I answered.
No, you did. Okay,
great.
No, you definitely did. I think what I always admired about you was you grinded. I mean, you were always like, I mean, your message never wavered, mm-hmm. even when you had things going on in your life economically. And even how you say, I don't know necessarily mentally, but, you know, like you had like things going on in your life.
Yeah.
You always like, you know, like things were tough for you when I met you. You know what I mean? You were going through a bit. But you never wavered. You never, you know, you always, you know, when it came time, when the lights came on, you did what you had to do. And and not even really did what you had to do. You performed and you did your thing. And people, you know, will still remember you, you know, and they still, you know, I'm sure your impact has been felt and lives on, you know, every time, you know, they're young adults now, but every time something, you know, they can reflect back, you know, those were our babies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, but yeah, you definitely, that was one of the things I always admired about you. Like, you were always like, you know, this was going on, but you were just like, you know what? I'm gonna handle it. I'm gonna deal with it. And, you know, like that's, you know, it's funny. It's one of the properties about you that, you know, you probably don't realize that gives strength to other people. You know, that gives, you know, like if someone, you know, is looking at their situation and they're just like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to just go do what I got to do because, you know, there's people that I know that wouldn't complain. And they just, you know what, this is what it is. Right. I got to go do what I got to do. You know,
yeah.
And you just, you know, you've always been about taking care of business. And it's, you know, that's definitely, you know, this is the flowers session, the flowers moment, you know, that because you deserve that. You know, you've impacted a lot of people. I could think of, even not just including myself, but I could think of like 50 people that you've impacted.
Aww.
You know, and it's just, yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, they'll think about you. I'm sure they follow you on social media.
I hope so.
You know,
you know? I miss them.
I miss them too. I do, you know, but it's also, and it is probably a good segue into the next question is, you know, when do you feel it's time to pass on the mantle to someone else?
I think that should happen, period. Right? Like, if you feel you are at a place, and sometimes that's layered because sometimes we don't feel we are, and we are. Right? Like, I feel like once you get to a place where you feel like you have solidified certain things,
right.
Even before that, you got to help people up, right? Like, people talk about a glass ceiling and crash it through. That doesn't mean shit if we ain't bringing people with us, right? Like, it's not just if we feel some type of free, it's still not free until we're all free. So how do we utilize our power or utilize our privilege to bring somebody up, right? Like, you know, people know me in my field. And
definitely.
That's cool, but I'm also going to be like, yo, let me slide this job up to somebody, right? Look, I can do that. That doesn't mean I need to. I can pass it to someone and I can say, make sure they pay you, right? Like, or I can flat out be the person to be the advocate so they don't have to have the uncomfortable conversation and be like, look, I have plenty of people I can refer you to, but make sure that your budget is intact because I'm not going to give you anybody of my folks for you to feel like you can get got because they are a name that you're not familiar with or something, right? Like, there's a way for all of us to eat. I feel like we don't have to wait till we're full to share.
Right.
I feel like we can all eat. There's 52,000 sneakers, 82 kinds of ketchup. Like, we all can do things even if we're doing the same exact thing, right?
Definitely.
If we both doing sex stuff, all right, but you're going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. And they're both brilliant, and they're going to reach the people that they need to reach. There's millions of people out there.
Definitely. And it's funny because when I was thinking of that question, and I was thinking about it today, you know, you know, kind of my moment of like passing on the mantle was like when I met you. Because truth be told, like when I took that job, I was kind of like, yo, you know, I was at another job working full time. And this that was like the part time gig. And I was just like, yo, I don't know if like I'm taking this to help my homegirl out.
Right.
But I'm, you know, I'm just like, I don't know if I'm the appropriate person, you know, to spread that. to speak about these things. I don't know. Mm. And, you know, inappropriateness doesn't mean, you know, it just means, to me, it meant that, can my voice be effective in reaching these youth?
Right. Know? Or am I taking up space? Or right. Is there somebody that I can help?
Right. Foster? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like, you know, like I would listen to you and I would listen to like Janet and even, you know, the other guys. Mm-hmm. And I would just be like, nah, you know what? Nah. Okay. You know, it kind of reaffirmed, okay, I'm here for now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm in the moment, you know, mm-hmm. But definitely that was like the moment where I was just like, you know what? This is like the last hurrah for the most part.
To shift, to pivot.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. even when 2016 came about and we were mm-hmm. working in the Bronx, you know, and that, it, even for that experience was awesome because, you know, we were dealing with youth that were, you know, like these were like really good kids. Mm-hmm. In the midst of a lot that wasn't positive.
Yeah.
You know, I can recall that meeting the next day after our 45th president was elected. And we had to tell them that the program was being shut down. So not only did, you know, Orange 45 come in and it's raining, like it was
just more,
like it was like the whole scene. And I'm just looking at everything and I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, wow. This is bad foretelling.
The layers, right? Yeah. Like without saying, I don't know, because I sign shit, right? But like the layers of like the people above us wanting to hold that information, right? They didn't want me to say anything until mm-hmm. November when the last was December. And I was like, y'all, right. I don't care. You need to know. You have a job. You got mm-hmm. things to handle. Y'all, even the young people, right? Like y'all getting your little cute checks that impacts y'all. You need to know now.
Yep.
I'm not going to hold it or try to put a nice press release. Like, this ain't politics. This is somebody fucked up. Mm-hmm. We're getting the brunt of it. You mm-hmm. should know now. Like, you should be able to be knowing now. And I'm here for y'all as much as I can, but I know that this means that this is, you know, this is ending, right? Like, I'm always available for those young people. But, you know, once we shift, we move, right? Like, mm-hmm. once in a while, I'll get one, you know, adding me on LinkedIn and I'm like, look at you with your LinkedIn, right? Like,
it was a really somber day. But I thank you for that experience because you know, like, that was definitely kind of like, it was like, you know, like a reaffirm, like it was just like, okay, you know, this is like the real last hurrah, then this is what it, and this is how it's just meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, playing Skyrim in the office.
Right. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah. Playing PlayStation 4. And it was just like, okay. Then we go do this group, come back, do the notes. Okay. I'm going to play PlayStation for a little
bit. Self-care. What you want me to do? Like, this is another conversation, and I know we've been on the call for a while, but I'm like, it makes me think about the work people are doing now and that COVID is happening and you're staying at home, but you got bosses that want to micromanage you while you're in the crib or you got teachers that are like, you can't have that in your own house when that's not the, like, are they getting their work done? Are they engaging? Are they retaining the information? Right. Then what is this policing? What good is that going to do? Right. Like we could have had them do, you know, T's, cross your T's, dot your I's for everything and still been like grinding for what? Right. What did they want? We centered them first. What do y'all want to do? I want to do this. All right. Bet.
Yeah.
They don't care because no shade. Mm-hmm. They didn't care about us. Like they didn't say, oh, let's make sure you're good. Let's slide off some budget and give them extra. Like that. Those things didn't happen. So we're like, all right, we're going to go on a trip. Right, we got professional development money.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
We gonna go on a trip. It was cold, but we gonna go.
Nah, that was awesome. That was dope too, for real, for real. And you know, I mean, it was a great experience. But I think at some point, you know, there's a fatigue, and it obviously hasn't hit you yet, but there's a fatigue that comes into play for me. I speak for myself in that, you know, since 2002 to 2016, you know, that was 14 years of my professional life that I gave to helping people of color in different in different subcultures and levels and layers. You know what I'm saying? And it just never ended. It just kept coming. And you it was like once patched.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
The order breakfast at the McDonald's drive-thru. Tell yourself you'll wait to eat it at work, but it smells way too good. So you eat it right there in the McDonald's parking lot meal. There's a meal for every morning at McDonald's.
Right now, get any size iced coffee for 99 cents until 11 a.m. and pair it with your favorite breakfast sandwich or one of our tasty bakery treats. Price and participation may vary.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Stop. And I'd say patched up because you're never fixing anybody.
No.
You're patching them up. You throw a couple Band-Aids on them. And you got two more people in the door.
Yeah.
And it's just a constant. Just a constant thing. Just constant, constant. And it's, you know, it was just like, man, like, when does this end?
Right.
And it never ends. It never ends for many different reasons that we don't, you know, I don't think we don't have, we'll never have enough time. This podcast would go on for months. For real, like, seriously, I don't got enough.
Another thing.
I don't got enough sick and professional, sick personal and vacation time to even, you know, to
like, or gigs.
Yeah.
Gigs to save all this data.
Yeah. Seriously, it's just, you know, but it's part of the work. And I think us as soldiers, or, you know, you particularly, because you're still in it. You're in it, though not at the level that you once were, but you're still in it. Whether it's, you know, you're doing speaking gigs or, you know, and this is a good segue for your podcast, Sex on Shuffle. You know, you're still in it for the most part. Let's talk about Sex on Shuffle. Like, when was that born? And what was your premise for it?
Okay. It's interesting because it's a slight pivot, right? Like, I think when that thing happened with us and whatever happened, I took that as a, okay, so no more 9-to-5 jobs, right? Like, it's either do this and feel like you can do it or not. And again, timing works really well because having a partner that supports you and you don't have to figure out how to pay millions of dollars of rent in New York helps. It just helps. It helped me.
Right.
I'm not saying get one for that reason, but sometimes, you know, we take care of yourself, right? But
Hashtag.
Live your best life. Sex on Shuffle started November 2019, sitting with the idea for a minute, had different names for it. It was originally called On Shuffle because I was afraid of putting sex on it, because I knew what was coming with the internet. And then I said, you know what, I'm gonna put Sex on Shuffle and we see what happens. It was really just me wanting to get more comfortable having my voice out there. Because so many folks, they think because I speak at classes and in different places that I'm just like, oh, let me just freely speak. I feel like I still gotta work my throat center, right? Like I still gotta get comfortable with being unapologetic in the way that I'm speaking, while still doing teachable moments, right? Before it used to be like, oh, this is 9-to-5 Cindy Lee, and this is sex Cindy Lee, because that wasn't the same for a lot. And this is at home, poor decision sometimes, Cindy Lee, right? Now they merge a little more. And to be like, what does it look like to show up and just talk, right? Because through talking, we're going to get teachable moments out of it. Like, I didn't even want to have a structure because I feel like I'm so rebellious that I want to rebel against myself sometimes. So I'll be like, oh, I'm going to talk about whatever I want. And then it was like, no, I'm going to talk about sex. But now I'm going to talk about whatever I want and sex. I'm going to just talk about whatever I want.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, you know, I randomly talk about things. I have a lot of homies in my field that are brilliant, that don't get the shine I feel that we deserve because we already talked about it for the first half an hour. Mm-hmm. So I interviewed them. We talk about sexuality because I've been in the field formally since 2006.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not counting undergrad, but even in undergrad, I was doing women's studies. I was doing anything sex related.
Gotcha.
To me, sex is connected to everything. So we can talk about anything, and I promise you I could bring up sex. Even if it's not direct, like sexual behavior, let's give it a shot.
Let's try it.
Come on. It's like a freestyle. It's a cipher. Let's go. What's up?
Cheerios.
Cheerios makes me think of cornflakes. And cornflakes originally was created by Kellogg because they believed that if you ate bland foods, you wouldn't have the desire to masturbate.
Okay.
So cornflakes, graham crackers. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Oh my God. Shout out to the people who masturbate while eating Cheerios.
Look, Cheerios have a lot of functions sexually, I'm sure. And for people who are parenting, if you got young kids that you're potty training that have penises, a fun game is to put Cheerios in the potty and tell them to, like, catch them. Like, tell them to shoot the Cheerios. See? Also, sexuality related.
Man, let's do one more. Skateboards.
Skateboards. Well, with skateboards, we can talk about gender. And we can talk about how it's the understanding that skateboards have been seen as a masculine thing. So then when women or feminine people want to break through in the industry, for example, or just want to skate, we've already gendered it and we've already told them they can't do that.
Right.
Because we gender everything when we really don't need to.
Right.
Definitely. Sexuality.
Ooh, sexuality. That was impressive. There's definitely going to be a clap audio at this part, by the way.
Thank you.
Is that? That's awesome.
We're going to have a segment. We're going to do this on IG Live. Like, give me another one.
Definitely, we should. We should.
Right.
Oh, man. So, sex on shuffle, right? So, the premise was that you wanted to create a platform where you talked about pretty much whatever topics you wanted to address.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sexuality sort of weaves its way into it.
Yeah.
You know, in and out.
Pop culture, music, because I love music and shit comes up in my interwebs and it makes me want to talk about stuff, right? Like right now I'm planning to talk about Bridgerton because I saw all of Bridgerton and all I kept seeing was these messages and I was like, let's just talk about it on a podcast, right? Or like when Lizzo showed her ass at that basketball game, I talked about it, right? When T.I. had a very interesting conversation about his daughter's parts, right? Like we talked about that because I feel like there's teachable moments in everything. And going back to the work we did with young people are going to understand it when they have something to reference to, when they could tie the things together. Right. And that's why, you know, we did things like talk about hip hop and talk about culture while we're trying to talk about safer sex and safety, because they need something to apply it to versus just regurgitating shit that's in a curricula that's 30.
Let's say that again. That's how old? You said
30.
30 years 30. Old.
Like, because when we look at the curriculum we was using, I'm sure it was good when it first came out. But, you know, when we first met, we was doing Let's Talk About Sex, Salt, and Pepper to freaking young people in 2011.
But we remixed that. We remixed that. You know, we already know that we remixed that because
we had to.
Yeah, we had to do it our way. Yeah.
So
that wasn't pertinent. That didn't translate well.
Right.
And we made fun of it. And we kind of used that to make fun of it and to kind of bridge the gap towards what could be relatable to the youth. Oh, what about the Spanish version of...
Can we talk about... I talk about this shit so much that somebody out there is like, bitch, offended, right?
I still have those videos, by the way.
I need them. I need them because I need to put them in the back of a TikTok.
I'll send them to you.
To be like... You know, condoms are...
Oh my God.
As if there's one way to be Latino, as if there isn't diaspora, right? Like right. so many countries and right. we're being. But let's all on a Mayan sun yeah. dancing oh to cumbia God. Beat, but we're gonna dance merengue. Pan, right. pan,
oh my God.
Amazing.
Yeah, amazingly horrible. Okay.
And it came from a good place, but that's what yeah. sucks, because then the labor is on us as educators. Mm. If we're good, if we give a fuck, to have to tweak that and change that and still have to do the things that our bosses told us to do. Yes. And fidelity, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. And that's the word that I always hated when it came to those contracts, fidelity. Because it's mm-hmm. like, if you don't do it this way, you know, you're not maintaining fidelity, but it's like, that doesn't work. Right. That doesn't work. Like, you know, it's not relatable. What may be relatable right. in Iowa is not really relatable to a place like New York City. And it may have worked there.
Right.
You know, or, you know, but we had to remix those things.
Absolutely.
I didn't even touch that because I'm not bilingual. You were, so you were asked to, but I was like, I'm not touching that. I'm not even gonna, I'm glad I don't know Spanish, so I don't have to touch that right. one.
Right.
Because that, to me, that was ignorant. That was like, just like, hey, it just came from a place where, oh yeah, well, this will reach all of these people.
All of y'all.
It's in line with like, just say no.
Yeah.
And you know.
Yeah.
All of those messages, because yeah, you could just say no. Right?
Yes.
You could just say no. But
that's it.
It's not that simple.
Stop.
Yeah. Stop. Wrap it up.
Yeah. And they'd be like, okay, now what? They never think about us when they in a right. couch somewhere. Like, right. remember what we said.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, they never, these people that came up with these things, I don't think they ever thought about when someone would say, why? And,
right.
you know, and you can't just say, oh, because you'll die if you don't. Because maybe some people are down for that. Maybe there's a reason why they're not doing, they're not adhering to safer practices in health, you yeah. know, or whatever. You know, so you, yeah.
Adults don't even, right? Like, y'all don't, like, we don't even, right? Like,
yeah.
I'll talk to a sex educator, like, when's the last time you used a dental dam? A finger cot? When?
Right.
Talk
yeah.
to me, right? Like, that,
right.
so we need to be realistic, and I'm not saying go mm-hmm. go be balls to the wall, but we need to be real. Like, okay, mm-hmm. if you want to be fluid bonded with someone, let's have a conversation around the risks involved with that.
Yep.
And you make your choices, because it's your autonomy. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, let's press a button. You did that wrong. You can't play no more. Like, that's not how that works.
Not at all.
So you need to give them the information and the trust that they're going to take it. They're going to do what they want regardless.
Definitely.
Right. But it's good to have the content so that they could be prepared, because a mm. lot of times mistakes happen because they don't have that autonomy, or they feel like they can't say something
right.
because they put themselves in that predicament, quote unquote, right? Like, we have to talk about all those uncomfortable things and the shit that they're into. You listening to a song, all right, cool, let's talk about it. I'm not gonna hate on the song. I'll be banging to that too. However,
right.
let's talk about the messages. Let's talk about critical thinking, that we can like this song and know that it has misogyny
right.
or has this, right? Or whatever.
Right. Let's recognize it for what
that's
it is.
That's it.
You know? Definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we don't follow it. And they'll be like,
right.
oh, yes, no, that's not what you do.
Right?
right?
Mm-hmm. Use it for the moment. Use it to you know, use it to bob your head or work out or whatever, but
that's
don't let
it.
That be your mantra.
Right. We can listen to music without it being our values.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And we cannot judge folks, because a lot of teachers will be like, nah, don't listen to that shit in my class. No, why don't you find out what that's about?
Yep.
Maybe they're trying to say something based on the music that they're listening to. Maybe they just want some type of connection with somebody, or they just fucking like to listen to music.
Yeah. I think, you know, that's it's generation. I have to constantly check people in my generation, guys that I grew up with, guys, men and women that I grew up with, who were like, oh, I'm not listening to that. This is what, and I'm like, well, when we were growing up, our music wasn't it either. You know, our music was infused with like drugs and murder and that was that, but that was our reality. That was the reality of the time period we lived in.
Right.
And so now this is a different time period. You know, you got the youth today are acknowledging the pain now versus where we acknowledge it later and say, okay, you know what? No, they're acknowledging it now. And they're also self-medicating now. They're using, you know, that's why the codeine and the oxys are so prevalent now. Because they're looking at the pain now and they're acknowledging it now and you hear it in the music and you just have to listen. It may not be something that, it may not be that 1-2 beat that we're used to, but there's still a message there and you have to hear it to understand, you know, it's there. It's all there. Just like Nas laid it out for us and Jay-Z and Busta Rhymes and, you know, and all these guys, they laid it out for us. You know, and there's more, plenty more. It's plain, you know, but that was our music and that was what was there. And this the same thing with these kids growing up, you know, the little babies and the baby and you know
all the babies.
Yeah, all the babies. All the babies. You know, I saw a meme the other day where they were like taking a shot as my generation grew up with Bigs. And it was like Big L, Big Pun, and Big and Notorious B.I.G. And then it was like, your generation grew up with Littles. And it was like Lil Wayne, you know, whatever. And it was like, and then the text said, I can't relate. And it was like, but you can.
Yes. You
can, because there's pain. Each of those guys spoke about their pain through media, and you just had to listen to it.
It was storytelling.
Definitely, you know.
Absolutely. And the generations before us had songs too, right? Some of those slow jams was saying some things. Yes. Some of them not slow jams was saying some things, right? It's not just WAP. WAP is not, it's not brand new. I was listening to Lil' Kim's Hardcore at 10.
Oh, man.
Right? Like, and not knowing some of the words, right? Like, I remember listening to Big and asking my sister, What's dishes in the bushes? What's that? I know I'm saying it because I got to know all the words, but like, what is it? And being told what it was, right? Like, I think we need to remember, because sometimes it hurts when I see people our age talk like how people talk to us. And I'm like, really? You gonna do that too? The one thing we have in common we could say that we all have in common is that we were young.
Yes.
If we're alive now, we had a childhood, we had an adolescence. There was times that we did fuck shit. There was times that we made decisions that we might still beat ourselves up about, right? Like we all have our favorite genre adults that said that, you know, get off that music, right? Like there's been nastiness and storytelling for decades, because that's how Black folks in particular, people of color, were able to share their pain, share their stories, and share their artistry, right? Like that's art.
Sister Tobacco Fields. Sister Tobacco Fields.
Listen.
Right,
and now we got, you know, white art curators putting acrylic nails as an art piece. But you were telling me I have to take mine off to get a job, right? Like all those little layers.
Right.
Yeah. Let our young people be great. Just like how we want it to be great.
Yeah.
Give them, I'm not saying let them, you know, be without support or lessons, but at the same time, you were young. Some of those lessons didn't hit until after.
Right.
When you made the decision or you made the mistake, and then you were like, damn, but then you took that. You took that lesson, you took that L as a lesson, right? Like how Chance said.
Right. No, definitely. Man, this has been really awesome. This has been really, really awesome. And I knew it would be, but this, just to be in it has been awesome. Any last words that you'd want to tell the audience?
Relax your muscles.
Relax your muscles, your back muscles in particular. Right?
All kind of muscles. Relax your muscles.
Right. Yes. You know, definitely. I definitely have enjoyed this interview. Cindy Lee Alves, you've always been amazing.
Thank you.
You've always, even when you've been mad at me, I could never be mad at you. I always came like, listen, you know what? Okay, all right, you know. That's what it is. You're right, you know. But you've always been someone that I've admired. You've always been, you're a fighter, you're an educator, you're a lover. You definitely are emotional, but that's part of you. And that's what makes you, that's the awesome part of being you, because you always cared and you always care. And that's evident in the young people that are still in contact with you, and evident in the people that you know, regard you in your field, in your industry. You've always been amazing. And, you know, I appreciate you. I love you. I thank you for being on the show.
Yes.
And, you know, it's she has been, or how are you?
She has been. Your succulents, daddy sometimes, professor, whatever.
She has been Cindy Lee Alves. I have been Jess Heck, and this has been Just Another Podcast. Thank you for listening, and have a great night. Shimmies.
For all you foodies out there, I'm unwrapping a McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel. Ooh, look at this steak. And the juice running down the side. Got a little bit on the wrapper here. And then the fluffy egg and real cheese folded over the side, looking just so good. Grilled onions and a butter bagel too. Thumbs up for McDonald's steak, egg, and cheese bagel for breakfast. Love it. Ba-ba-ba-ba. I participate in McDonald's.
Suicide loves silence. Break the silence. Don't be afraid to ask the question. Talking about thoughts of suicide may be a source of relief to the person at risk. Listen to them. Let them talk. And let them know you care and are concerned. Suicide is preventable. Learn how to discuss your concerns. Recognize it. Talk about it. Act on it. Learn more at recognizetalkact.org. A message from the Virginia Department of Health.